Hi, my name's Karen Phillips, and we're currently here at the Glass Nexus Forum in Leibster. I'm a director of Northlands Creative, and I've been here since 2016.
And I've been here for the last couple of days, and I really appreciate the invitation, Karen, asking me to come along, grab some stories, capture some imagery, and immerse myself in what I'm finding to be is a very fascinating community of glassmakers and artists. How long has Northlands been doing this?
The organisation's been in existence for 23 years. It started out as a voluntary board. There was actually three school pupils that decided to set up a glass studio in Caithness because we have lots of sand here. The one thing they didn't know was that the sand you couldn't use for glassmaking.
That was a slight oversight.
Yes, it was. But they forged forward and they bought a buyer space where the old hot shop used to be. We now have two sites in Leibster, one for the studio, so we have a hot shop, cold shop, kiln room, so we facilitate pretty much any kind of glass making technique. And the other site where we're developing into a museum, so we have a 200 piece collection, which we don't currently have out on show. So we have masters from all over the world come to teach in glass, and at the end of that process, they kindly donate a piece of work to Northlands and it goes into the collection.
Magicians, I would like to correct you there. These people are magicians. I mean, I've only been here twice, but the amount that I've learned and the things I've seen continually blow my mind. It's watching the confidence with some of these masters, as you call them, mm-hmm. working with something that seems so fragile, so impossible to master, and yet they have, and they're doing it. Yesterday I had just a great experience, Louis Thompson working with James, and real eye-opener, and they were talking to me about how this place is famous for its facilities. Why is that?
I think it's not just the facilities. I actually think it's a context of where Northlands is. So we're in the northeast of Scotland. You know, we're 40 minutes from John O'Groats, so you can't get that much further north. And it's the landscape, it's a response to the landscape here. Artists love coming to places where they have a blank sheet of paper, they might come with some ideas, but the actual environment that they're placed into really impacts on the work. So we've had artists come with a plan and have torn it up on the first day. And some artists have actually changed their practice forever and gone into another making, technique, or actually, started making larger work or, installation work. So it has a huge impact on the ethos and the conceptualization of what they're trying to achieve here.
So even though you're in the middle of it here, mm-hmm. because you're in the middle of the wilds of Scotland, maybe that's that distance you need from the normal chaos of life to be able to let those ideas surface.
I suppose sometimes you see isolation as a negativity, but here they really have, we wrap around artist care. So what we mean by that is, the techniques, that it's at their fingertips. So we have a technician, and we've got technician assistant support, but we also have accommodation on site, with glass fronted accommodation, so they can look out into wild dramatic landscape. We also encourage people to come here in different times of the year. So winter months in Caithness can be wild, and we can have snow and storms. And some artists have just haven't experienced that in the context where they've come from sunny California. And you just never experience that kind of raw battle with the elements. And I think, the environment, but also the people we wrap around the artists that come here, so that they really have the time to think and digest and think about what's next for me. And there's no pressure either, because usually when we have our artist in residencies program, they dictate what they want to do. And what I really mean by that is there's not any outcome. There's no pressure for an exhibition at the end or to develop work into the community. That sometimes happens through our socially engaged residencies. But it really is time and space. And they know they're being valued. There's a great history with Northlands that we've worked with some great caliber of artists, not just glass artists, but artists, you know, very famous sculptors like Richard Wentworth, you know, Tessa Clegg has been here. So, you know, there's a real sort of honour attached to coming. And once they're here, they're just so delighted and just so excited. They're just like, just burst into action.
And just either side of the doors, we're conveniently sat in the bar here. There's people from all over the world. You've just delivered the opening talk here. You mentioned, and I'm going to say the word now, mm-hmm. You mentioned Brexit. What does this mean for the glass community, but also art in general?
So obviously in Scotland here, the country voted to remain. So we have to deal with that conversation. There's a sort of sparkle that's come out of this and a determination that actually within this darkness, the European Union are saying you can still be involved after spring next year. So we've just received Creative Europe Fund and we're the lead partner. But within that, we can run a four-year programme up to 2022. My interest when we were writing the application was the mobility of artists and the mobility of their cultural products, whether it's them going and doing a residency or, you know, their work travelling an exhibition. And I suppose the fear now is it's the uncertainty of borders that were borders but weren't real borders. What is going to happen now in terms of practical, you know, taxation, you know, visas? Is this all going to get hugely complicated? You know, 64% of cultural organisations in the UK do an activity with Europe every year. That is huge for our sector. So I think we're kind of the last sector within this Brexit debate. There's not really been a champion saying how this is going to impact on the arts.
What can people do so that all of this that's happening right now with the European Union, mm-hmm. what can people do so that they don't feel totally powerless in all of this? I imagine that what's happening right here in this building is a big part of that, this sense of community and togetherness that you're nurturing.
Yeah. Well, when I first started at Northlands Creative, I hadn't worked in the glass sector. I've come from a visual arts background, and no, the pun was that they are in this kind of glass bubble. And a lot of sectors, you know, in theatre and music, naturally just collaborate, do partnerships. And Northlands wasn't doing that. We were bringing in international people in terms of teaching, but we really weren't reaching out. It was the reaching out, so we weren't thinking about strategic partners across the globe. And I think now with Creative Europe, we're really looking at, not just in terms of a project, but it's a kind of like a growing movement in Europe. So the application that we wrote was under intangible culture. So one of our partners is from Germany. So 2013 UNESCO convention has safeguarded glassblowing as an intangible culture. So we're really at a kind of critical point that critical point in terms of funding, but critical point in terms of, you know, retaining skills in the sector. Because what is happening at third level education, universities are not able to give their students the time or the resource to do the craft of making. So students aren't getting to blow glass. Some glass departments don't actually have a hot shop. So what we're producing now is students that are sitting behind, more and more sitting behind laptops and doing industrial design, but the actual craft, you know, the heritage of craft is being lost. So Radcliffe Trust in the UK did a study back a few years ago where they registered all the crafts that are within the UK and within the glass sector, like scientific glassblowing, their estimation will that craft, that taught craft, will go within 5 to 10 years because we're just not teaching people. We just don't have the caliber of people teaching the hands-on skills.
If you could wave a magic wand and make your dream future for Northlands happen over the next couple of years, what would that look like?
I think it will look like concentrating on Europe, but looking at Northern Europe. We've got a lot to learn, I think, as an organisation from Scandinavia. And they've actually been very clever at looking at being in a consortium together in Scandinavia to revive their glass sector. So indigenous crafts that were lost, they're really making an economic impact again. At local government and at national government across Scandinavia, they've brought in policies that they will bring in other economic activity, bring in funding within those countries. So they will not lose the skills. So I think, I know it's a European question, but I think it's very much of what's happening at national government level too. We're not on the table. You know, we're well down the list of, you know, priorities for our government at the moment, of what Brexit's going to do and what impact that's going to do on the cultural sector. I don't see it. I just don't see the conversation. So hopefully through our Glass Nexus Forum today and tomorrow, those conversations will be bridged, and we'll maybe find, we won't find a solution, but we'll certainly find a way inwards of a, you know, a framework of a plan that we can work towards and advocate for the sector.
Fascinating stuff. I guess you better get back in the room now.
Yes.
Thank you so much for your time, Karen. Thank you.
Thanks, Christian.